Fly James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, hello there. How you doing today? Had some concerns a moment ago. Thought our stream wasn't up and running, but it is. So, off we go. Blast off. Another show coming to you from the beautiful sandy beaches and blue waters of Southwest Florida and all across the nation and around the world here at the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us today. We hope to have a good show for you today. I do not have any guests scheduled today. Thought we'd go it alone today, so we're going to be counting on you with your phone calls today. Don't forget that. Call your friends and neighbors. Have everybody call in today with your concerns. And there's a lot of concerns right now. We got just, what do we got? Less than we got 6 days till the election. 6 days. Man, oh man. Amazing. Only 6 days. It seemed like it just on and on and on and on. This thing has gone. And finally, we're getting to some resolution of it. And frankly, I got to tell you, it's been exciting. It's been fun, but I'll be glad when this is over with. I'll be very glad when this is over with. Be able to rest easy and maybe sleep a little bit better at night. The future of our country is at stake, and I do worry about that. It does cause me to lose sleep at night, thinking about what all is going on. And I'm sure you've got your concerns as well. I hope you're sleeping better than I am at night. I'm a problem sleeper anyway, and I always have been for a very, very long time. And it'd be nice just to be able to lay the head down in the pillow at night and just fitfully fall asleep. But I've never been able to do that. Don't know why. Not very often anyway. So that's something about my psyche. I don't know what. I'm just a problem sleeper. I hope you're okay at it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I hope you can give us a call today. My goodness, we got people calling already today. Let's just do that. Let's do something different and go to the phone right away. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, you know, we was having that little conversation in there. How about Bobby Kennedy Jr. running for president?
Bobby Kennedy Jr. I don't know Bobby Kennedy Jr. very well. You're not talking about the one that just got that one. The one that just
one
got
the voting... voting research thing.
Oh, yeah. You're not talking about, what's his name, Kennedy, that just got picked up for...
Oh, no, we're talking about one of them good Kennedys.
Yeah. You know, the other one, what's his name? Why can't I... Patrick. Yeah. I read a poll recently that he was... well, I hesitate to say this, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I read a poll lately, and I don't know who decided it, that around the office buildings in the... in the capital city, they have voted him the dumbest of all the congresspeople. And that's saying something. I know of a couple of them that are.
Yeah, when you got Santorum in the mix, that's really taking it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure you feel the same way, but we are in such bad need of a real leader right now because, like Bobby Kennedy, you know, the one that we were talking about, not the junior, but Jack's brother, you know, if we had someone like him or even John Kennedy himself, we had somebody like that that could step up and lead this country, we wouldn't have these people in Jackson County, Mississippi, still just displaced, and we wouldn't have these troops being killed for no reason whatsoever.
No, they would take some sort of action. The Kennedys were people of action at that time. You know, look at what happened with the integration. They went right after that. They didn't hesitate. Despite their personal feelings about anything, they would take action. You know, we had the Bay of Pig things. It didn't turn out so well. The Cuban Missile Crisis. What would have happened had we had, an idiot like this one we have now?
Oh, good.
My God. The world probably wouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah, and it scares me because George Bush, if he had been in office instead of Jack Kennedy, we wouldn't be sitting here discussing this because we'd all be dead.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, there'd be nothing but amoeba left on the planet. Primordial slime, we'd be back to that again, I think, because everything would have been wiped out.
Well, you know, there's one guy up there that I've been talking with lately, and I really have just grown more and more fond of him and already thought the world of him, and that's John Conyers, Jr.
John's a very smart man.
I've been talking with his office this morning, and they are going to pay some attention to what's going on in Jackson County, which is really good news for the people down there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, you know, John Conyers gets a hold of it. He's like an old bulldog. He ain't going to let go.
No, that's right. You've got him and people like Henry Waxman out in California, people like that. But they do. They get their teeth into something. They're like old snapping turtles. they bite on and don't let go. And
well, Guy, let me tell you a breaking news story that I'm sure you'd be interested in. Are you familiar with Rick Ramsey?
Not that much, no.
Okay, well, there is a video of him taking a bribe from undercover, I believe it was FBI agents. And so they've got him dead to right. And torture boy Gonzalez has decided, well, you know, it's too close to the election, so we're just going to sit on this indictment. We don't want to, you know, screw the elections up.
Yeah, they'll wait till afterwards so they can appoint somebody to take his place and they don't have to give up the seat.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just, you know, I hope the people in Arizona have enough sense to say, I'm not voting for a proven crook.
Yeah.
Then, who knows? They got John McCain, and in my book, he's the biggest traitor America's ever had in their life because that man spat on every soldier. He spat on the memory of everyone that was in Hanoi with him. And in my book, you can't get any lower.
Well, John McCain has learned the craft, the wonderfully honed craft in Washington of learning to talk out of both sides of his mouth, and he's certainly been doing it lately. He's about as hypocritical as anybody that I've known of.
You know, guys, the thing about it is I've served in two branches of the military, and I served during Vietnam, and there's not one person that I saw die back then that I'm going to dishonor them so much that I'm going to knowingly sell out what these people were fighting for. John McCain to me has just gone beyond any level of decency that a man can possibly have. And if John McCain had just a little ounce of courage, he would just resign because he has disgraced himself. He has disgraced everyone that he's ever served with, and somebody like him should be just so ashamed he can't pick his head up.
Well, I agree. He is sucked up to Bush. No matter, even after what Bush did to him, he's shown that. I used to think that John McCain maybe was all right. I used to think that John McCain was a guy that had some principles. But after what the Bushes did to him, and then And then he comes along and sucks up to him and sucks up to Jerry Falwell and all that. I've had it. That's it for me with John McCain. He's shown what he's worth.
He's a disappointment. Well, guy, I'm going to let you go. And, hey, I'm glad you're on the air, man. We was all sweating it out.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Buddy. Bye-bye.
And I won't change my mind about that. I will not change my mind about that, no matter what. I know perhaps people that know me very well know that that I'm a little bit too much that way, that I am the kind of guy that's maybe a bit too stubborn, and I know it, but I don't know. Maybe it's a character flaw. I don't know, but I don't forgive easily, and maybe I forgive easily, but I don't forget, and I think that's the problem. You want to know how stubborn I am? You want to know? Let me give you an example of how stubborn I am. Back in about 19... late 60s? Maybe mid-60s, 65, 66? The Ohio State Fair used to be really a big deal. They used to advertise it as the biggest fair in the country. And it was. It was outstanding. And I was in a little theater group, and we went to the state fair. We were invited to the state fair, and we performed a lot. We had a great little theater group, really, really fine. And we were doing, what was it? I was Emile Dubeck in South Pacific, and we did. We went to the state fair and did that. Anyway, I was a Coca-Cola drinker, okay? I liked Coca-Cola. That particular year, they sold the rights, and you're going to think this is crazy, but I'm just trying to give an example of how stubborn I am. That particular year, they sold the rights to the entire state fair to Pepsi-Cola. They had exclusive rights. You couldn't sell Coca-Cola on that, on this fairgrounds. And I was so pissed off that they did that, that I have never knowingly drank another drop of a Pepsi product in my lifetime, and that's been nearly 40 years. So that gives you an idea right there, okay? Yeah, that's the kind of guy I am. Never had another Pepsi product. Won't. Someone offers me one, I'll turn it down. Oh, boy. I guess I need to shrink pretty bad. How are you doing today? Are you all caught up in all this crap about John Kerry? Let's put a stop to it, okay? Let's just put a stop to it. This little dust up over John Kerry's remarks about getting educated or ending up in Iraq is, well, it's once again reaffirmed my beliefs about the Republican Party. Got nothing to do. Nothing to do with it as far as John Kerry. They are, to borrow a phrase from the esteemed Dick Cheney, in their last throes. They know it. We know it. They're sinking. They're sinking like a rock. The religious right, the warmongers, the me crowd is flailing about while drowning, absolutely drowning in a sea of ill will from the American public, at least the ones with a hint of intelligence. The idea that John Kerry was insulting our troops when he said what he did yesterday is absolutely laughable. And everybody knows it. It proves once again that this whole episode, that the Republicans are just almost totally divorced from reality. I would wager a dollar to a donut that if the White House hadn't started to fight over this totally innocuous remark, that the entire public could have watched Kerry's statement and not noticed one thing wrong with it. Why? Because there was nothing wrong with it. And let's face it, if you are stupid enough to believe and gullible enough to believe that John Kerry, a genuine stick-it-up-your-hind-end swift boat boys, if you're listening right now, a genuine decorated war hero, a highly respected member of the United States Senate, if you think for a moment he would say anything derogatory about our troops, you're probably wearing the kind of shoes that's got those Velcro fasteners on them, not because you got any arthritic condition of any kind, because you don't know how to tie your shoes. You really would have to be that stupid to think that John Kerry, in this day and age, in this election season, to think that he was insulting our troops. And I will admit, he could have said what he meant in a better, maybe a little more cogent fashion. That's a fact. But anyone with an ounce of sense knows exactly what he meant. There's a shortage of jobs for those people who are not educated, and recently our military has once again lowered the standards for recruits, and if you've got a good education, you're far less likely to end up in Iraq than if you don't. Is that so hard to understand? But Tony Snowjob, I should call him something else because I'm sure he's got knee pads in the top desk drawer. Junior Bush, Karl Rove, and crew, being more than a little bit desperate, saw an opening, a little tiny crack in the, just a little chance to once again twist and distort something someone said for their own benefit. And I would hope that most voters would see their tactic for exactly what it is. It's pure desperation in the face of a massive repudiation of this administration and its policies. And that's exactly what it is. It's massive, and you can see that in the polls. This is especially cute when you hear Junior Bush talk about it. This from a guy who's butchered the English language as much as Norm Crosby. You all remember Norm Crosby, some of you. Only this is, well, Crosby was doing it to be funny. Bush does it out of stupidity. Yeah, stupidity. Do you think for a moment he thought up this little speech against Kerry yesterday all by himself? Do you actually believe that he has the intelligence to even understand what Kerry meant? The answer is no. Someone at the White House wrote that little ditty of his and told him to say it. And in his heart, if he has one, he knows damn well that Kerry was not insulting the troop. He knows that. That's the hypocrisy of this whole thing. They all know for a fact that Kerry was not insulting our troops in any way, shape, or form. The idea that these people would use what Kerry said as some sort of a major campaign issue just points out how damned evil they really are, and desperate too. And I don't say evil lightly. They are evil. If Bush wants to talk about any axis of evil from now on, then let him include himself in it, because he is an entire family and their political allies have exhibited far more than enough evidence to call them evil. Starting back with his granddad in cahoots with the Nazis, his daddy up to his eyeballs in the Iran-Contra affair and the arms for hostages, his big mouth mama for the cruel and abnormal statements that she's made, in public even. Statements only a psychopath would say. His own wife attacking Michael J. Fox yesterday. And of course Bush himself starting a totally unnecessary war to satisfy his ego and reward his good friends with enormous profits. Am I being unfair here? No. I'm not. All of this is absolutely true. It's documented and it's undeniable. Bush is responsible for many, many thousands of the deaths of innocent civilians and American military personnel, and for what? For absolutely no gain whatsoever. There are just as many terrorists now as before the war. In fact, there's a whole lot of evidence to suggest there are far more terrorists than before the Bush war was started. And he has the gall to accuse John Kerry of bad-mouthing our military. If anyone has ever owed our military an apology, it's George W. Bush. And if he were a decent man, he would go before them and get down on his knees and beg for forgiveness for what he's done. But he won't. That won't happen. For this mental midget of a president, this very small man, small in character, he is not a decent man. He is not a religious man in any sense that religion is usually recognized. He does not have the welfare of the people of the United States at the forefront of his thinking. He's proven that fact over and over and over again with his actions. His actions that have been totally detrimental to our society. He's an egotistical, arrogant, merciless human being devoid of normal feelings about right and wrong. And if he had any sense of right and wrong, he would not have attacked John Kerry yesterday. What John Kerry said doesn't matter one bit. Bush and his maniacal followers, who, by the way, now represent the vast minority of the American people, are a band of selfish, me-first, power-hungry fools. And that includes anyone who is stupid enough to have voted for him, and those who go to the polls Tuesday and vote for anyone who backed any of his policies. I've had it from these people. Damn them. The facts are this. John Kerry was not, by any stretch of the imagination, trying to say that our troops are stupid. And anybody who says he was is a fool, a lying fool. The stupid ones are those who still believe Bush. I'm sorry to have to say it that way, but what other choice do I have? A large majority of the people in this country believe is pushing a war that has no end in sight and nothing but negative ramifications for the people of this country. The world community realizes that Bush is a lying, incompetent oaf. Yesterday, they tried, and they failed, to make a mountain out of a proverbial molehill. It did not work. Yes, the pundits are hashing it over again today, but mark my word, it does not mean a damn thing. Because most of the voters going to the polls understand that this is all a pile of horse manure that these guys are trying to raise because they're desperate. There's nothing else they can do. People have their eye on the ball right now. At least those who have enough brains to tie their shoes have their eyes on the ball. And they're not going to let this diversion, and it's exactly what it is, by the press, by the right-wing talking heads. They all had their marching orders this morning. Blah, 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 blah. They all got the marching orders, and oh yes, I receive those marching orders every morning. I get them as well. I have them sent to me every morning. And the talking points were there this morning. The emphasis, and that's the word to use, the emphasis today will stay on the John Kerry statements. Well, bullshit, boys. You can talk about it amongst yourselves all you want to, but it doesn't mean a thing. It does not mean a thing. It's not going to mean anything in this election. Because you know what? The party's over. The nation understands what kind of an administration you people have wrought upon us. The world understands it. It's all out in the open now. There's no more hiding it. There's no more lies. And things are going to change. I promise you that. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to hear somebody besides me talk, well, give us a call. Hey, and while we're at it, before I go to a break, let me take a call here. Let me see here if I get this. Yeah. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi, Guy. This is Cody with PowersandMorrison.com.
Hi, Cody.
Oh, man, I just wanted to sort of reflect on the way that our newspapers are a little biased today, and, you know, the word propaganda comes to mind. I'm not sure if you're aware of, there's a man by the name of Josh Wolf. He's a fellow San Franciscan. He's a blogger who ended up getting himself in jail because of standing up for the First Amendment. And I've done a lot of coverage about him. His website's joshwolf.net. And the San Francisco Chronicle came out and attacked him, and they are just completely wrong. I've been through the court documents, the transcripts. I've read the court rulings. I mean, supporting, the Chronicle was supporting the federal government. And they were wrong. And the reason why they're wrong is, I believe, because they're starting to get afraid of citizens' media, because they're afraid that conservatives don't buy the San Francisco Chronicle. Conservatives don't buy the New York Times. So liberals do. liberals more and more often are getting their news from Salon.com. They're getting their news from Powers and Morrison.com. They're listening to the horn. They're going sort of to the citizens' media outlets, and that's threatening their dollar. And this is how they pay us back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a big change taking place right now.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. The liberal media is not being liberal. Now they're just, it's about their bottom line, and they're willing to lie and go after, trying to say that, you know, we're not really journalists, so, you know, we should, so if we get thrown in jail for something that, for standing on the First Amendment, then we aren't entitled to their outcry.
You know what? In many cases, we're better than the journalists that are employed by some of these big news outlets. In many cases, we're better.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm better because I went and did my due diligence, and I spent hours, countless hours, covering Josh Wolf's case and talking about it on the horn and really doing a lot of in-depth to what I believe is investigative reporting, and I feel that the Chronicle has fudged it. They've just done just a half-assed effort at reporting the news. And, you know, unreported news network stars, that guy, he is personifying what journalists are supposed to be doing, and he doesn't have so-called journalist credentials. But I mean, there's no. If you start saying that we need to have state-sponsored media, if you need to have a journalist license, that's no different from communism or fascism.
Tell us a little bit about that case.
Well, Josh Wolf is the video blogger, and joshwolf.net. He goes out with camera and he covers a lot of the protests that go on in San Francisco. And July 8th, 2005, he was covering an anti-G8 summit, and he got some videotape of police got into it with some protesters. According to the president of National Lawyers Guild, whose video is available, because I'm about to make a really outlandish claim, but I want people to know they can go to powersandmorrison.com and watch the video on this. The police actually drove their car into a crowd of protesters and got out and started swinging their batons willy-nilly. And an officer was struck, and he was injured. However, that's not what this is all about. This is about the federal government circumventing the state law and putting Wolf under grand jury investigation for who threw a firecracker at a police vehicle. And they're trying to say, I know this sounds really strange, and it's a very strange situation. They're trying to say that because federal funds pay for some of the they donate to the San Francisco General Fund, that they have jurisdiction over who threw the firecracker at a police vehicle. I mean, it's preposterous, but they've used this circumvention of or laws to put this guy in jail, and he's in jail on no bail. In fact, he was out on bail. They revoked his bail because he was supposedly a threat. He's a San Francisco University student. He's no threat, but this is going on and on. And in fact, I met with the San Francisco City Supervisor Ross Mercurimi about this, and he had passed a resolution condemning it. And that's also at powersandmorrison.com, that the state attorney general, Bill Locklear, is against it. The county district attorney is against it. The city supervisor is against it. But look, the federal government just went into San Francisco, supposedly an oasis of progressiveness, and put one of their citizens in jail because he won't give up his tapes, his unedited footage of what he had taped that night. But then the newspapers come out and say, well, he's not a real journalist. Well, or local station paid him $500 for his tape. So, I mean, he's making money being a journalist, isn't that? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Do you have to have a certificate in your back pocket that says journalist? Not to my mind, you don't.
No, you don't. And, you know, I just wrote a very strong letter to the Chronicle, and I went to versuslaw.com. I have a pretty well working knowledge of how to use the law library, and I went to my local law library and I looked up our bloggers journalists, and it's so interesting because there's in our state bloggers are protected under the California Shield Law because Californians actually amended their constitution to enact a shield law that would protect journalist sources from this kind of government intervention, and that's it's sick, but the feds aren't bound by it, and they've just went around the county law, and the supervisors, you know, he acknowledged it. He's like, yeah, they can come in here, they can come around me, and they can go and throw my citizens in jail. And, you know, 800-pound gorilla is out and running around. It's the federal government. It all comes down. It's not an isolated incident either. FBIwitchhunt.com sort of catalogs all of these little incidents from coast to coast, and there's all these little blips showing up. And who's in charge of these grand juries is Alberto Gonzalez. There's no doubt in my mind it's coming from the White House to suppress dissent.
Absolutely, and you look around some of the demonstrations and some of the arrests that have been made at Bush appearances or Cheney appearances around the country, where the Secret Service has gone in and demanded that somebody be arrested just because they were there, just because they were wearing a T-shirt that said something against them. They've circumvented local law, and lest anybody guess that there won't be a lot more of this taking place. Carefully read, and I don't have the number of it in front of me right now, but carefully read the law that was passed the same day that he signed the military commission bill, allowing Bush to do anything he wants to do, going completely around the governors of the states with the National Guard. He can put down a riot. He can put down a demonstration. He can put down a political demonstration. He can do anything he wants with the National Guard now.
Absolutely, and that's so unconstitutional. We're supposed to, the federal government has limited enumerated powers, which is why we have the 10th Amendment. I mean, these totally conservatives used to support the Constitution, but now they've just shredded it. I mean, the 10th Amendment is states' rights, and if it's not in the Constitution for the federal government to take over the National Guard, then he can't take over the National Guard.
Do you understand, our listeners, do you understand that, for example, if you wanted to have a million-man liberal march on Washington, D.C. in the mall, do you understand that Mr. Bush could call out the National Guard and round your asses up now? Do you know that? I don't think a lot of people understand it.
Absolutely not. The stuff that was so ironic is stuff that we're talking about right now. 10 years ago, was like the tinfoil hat type people.
Yes.
It has become the reality. The Orwellian prophecy has been fulfilled in the Bush administration, and that is just terrifying to me. And then, but what's even more terrifying isn't that they're doing it, it's that everybody's going along with it.
Yeah.
they're just mesmerized. They've got the glass toilet to watch, and the whole pop culture has just eviscerated the common sense of all the decent Americans who should be up in arms about this.
Sitting home on the couch, hey, Ma, I see they arrested another one of them damn hippies at one of them demonstrating against the president. He's getting what he damn sure deserves. You can get put away under the Patriot Act. You can get put away under the Military Commissions Act. I mean, you are so right that 10 years ago, yeah, had you brought this up, they would have laughed you off the stage any place you were speaking, and here it has come to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely, and the only hope is that that the progressives, I mean, it's funny you bring up the hippies, but in those times, war numbers, or progressive numbers, were so much greater, especially in the youth. I watched this movie, just came out in theaters, a little indie movie called United States versus John Lennon. And you just see how many people back in those times were out there marching compared to, say, even the World Can't Wait protest that I participated in, which was relatively tiny in comparison.
Well, let me tell you, the draft had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what needs to happen. And I'm not afraid of the actual physical next war as much as I'm afraid of the economical war, because of how bad it could get if they just wreck our government. We keep pushing and pushing the European Union, and if in this and the OPEC, and all they have to do is, and this is an, I got this from an economist, John Perkins. He says, you know, they just get mad at us. They start trading in the euro and not the dollar, and China and Saudi Arabia and Japan start calling in their debts. We're ruined.
Anytime they want to. Anytime the oil states want to demand that the oil starts being bought in euros instead of dollars, we're screwed.
And that's the economic warfare. I mean, it started out conventional warfare, then we had nuclear warfare, and now with this world trade and this despicable policies that we have as far as just putting, it's apparent America has turned into, instead of, you know, democracy, everybody gets their chance to get ahead, it's starting to look more and more like a pyramid scam. Everybody at the bottom gets nothing, and all the wealth in America is just centering to the apex at the top.
Well, I think people still believe that the wealth is trickling down, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yes, trickle down. You know, we're in a precarious situation right now. 50% of the country doesn't give a damn. 50% of the country doesn't even know what's happened recently in regards to the habeas corpus in our Constitution, the violation of our Constitution. And not only do they not know, they don't care. I think until they see their family members being dragged off and thrown in the clink, until they see their kids being sent to Iraq and all that, they just don't care, and they're not going to. And that's what, you know, politicians being what they are and who they are, they will do what they do. A good percentage of them are liars and thieves and power hungry, and they'll do whatever they can get away with. Where the real crime is the American public letting them get away with it.
And the reason why they're letting them get away with it to a large degree is because they aren't being informed. And the ones that try to go out of their way to inform the public, people like myself, people like Josh Wolf, people like the Sarge, we get ostracized for it. And I'm starting to feel like if they can do this, and, you know, about 2 months after they put Josh Wolf in jail, the federal government tried to come down on two San Francisco Chronicle reporters, Mark Wada, can't remember the other fellow's name. But you can see the pattern of them getting more emboldened. First, they go after the blogger, throw him in jail. There's no public outcry. Okay, how much further can we push the envelope is exactly what this Big Brother government is doing. Then they move a little bit further. Now they've grabbed a couple so-called legitimate journalists who get paid by a corporation, and now they're trying to throw them in jail. So what's next? I mean, I can just see that it's getting progressively worse. The more that we allow, the federal government just pushes a little bit and waits, and then they listen, and then if there's no uproar, if there's no response, they just get emboldened and get worse.
Do you attribute any of this to the fact that the general public on the tube, on the radio, no matter where they get their news, that we're becoming sort of anesthetized? We see that 130 people got killed and were dead in the streets in Iraq yesterday, and everybody says, oh, well, you know, that's a... Yeah, and we lost 104 soldiers in Iraq. Well, you know, in the general scope of things, that isn't that many. I just think we're being numbed to a lot of this. There's so much of it.
Absolutely. If they're so bad, I figure that these right wingers that are pulling the strings figure if they just go all out, if they're just so bad that it's unbelievable, the people will just be in a state of shock and they won't respond. It was almost like if they weren't as bad, we would get more mad, because it's just the numbers are sometimes incomprehensible that we're going to allow 2,800 people, American soldiers, to die for no reason. They can't even justify their war. And then I watch CNN, and they've got that sick creep Anderson Cooper talking about the little towns in Arizona and how they're pro for the war, and how they interview the people and they say, oh, we need to stay until the job's done. What do you mean stay until the job's done? Do these people not understand the dictionary definition of insurgent opposed to terrorist?
No idea.
Insurgent is somebody who resists the civil authority. That's what these people are. They're guerrilla fighters. They aren't taking kindly to what's happened to their country, so they're fighting back. It's a real civil war. It's not terrorist. In fact, the guy who wrote the book Fiasco, Washington Post, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had said that he had talked to field commanders on the ground in Iraq, and he said, what percentage is foreign fighters? Because everybody wants to say it's jihadists, it's terrorists, they've gone over to Iraq. He said 2%. We have 98% domestic insurgents and 2% foreign jihadists. But that's a minimal number. But the press is projecting it like it's 50%.
Well, those 2% must be damn good fighters, huh?
I guess so.
You're right. And I saw that report. You're talking about, what was it, southern Arizona, southern New Mexico, down there talking about to the folks. And I thought, you know, these are obviously nice folks, and they care about the country and all that, but they only know what they've been told. And I can see very well all they've been told. And they've been told this is right, this is what we need to do. And they were mouthing their acquiescence to whatever they've heard on the radio or seen on the tube.
Now, absolutely. And I believe that Fox is putting out propaganda that's worse than biased stuff. It's true propaganda. And when you put out some propaganda, you start brainwashing people. That's the Orwellian state in its essence. And if all you're doing is getting your news from Rush and Fox, there's nothing you can do. The facts are manufactured.
If you're getting your news from Rush and Fox, you don't have any news. That's it's that simple. These people are propagandists of the highest order. There is no question the Third Reich would hire these people in a moment and be very proud of them and promote them right to the top, because what's her name, Wiffenstahl, that made all the great propaganda movies, she'd be proud of these people. There isn't any question about it. They're propagandists of the highest order. And I think Hannity's probably as good as any of them as well. He's extraordinary propagandist, extraordinary. He scares me because I think he believes it. I'm not sure about the rest of them, but I'm pretty sure he believes it.
Yeah, once you trick yourself into believing it, then it's just over. You can't be helped. But the solution, I think that the solution here is that, you know, the first order of business, we can argue about priorities, but the first order of business, if we take over the Congress, which I hope that we do, I believe that you've got to go to the root cause of the opposition to the Democrats, and that is the propaganda. And the way to stop it, I believe, would be Congress to pass civil remedies. And I was researching this a little bit last night, and there has been attempts at banning propaganda before. We need a civil remedy, a section of the United States Code that would allow progressive lawyers to take Fox to court and have a jury decide what is propaganda, and in order to fine these people for putting out news that's, I mean, you can have editorial, you can have bias. Bias isn't propaganda. But when it crosses a line that has to be established in the law, the Congress has to establish what this is and fret it out. And the way to fret it out is to allow Fox to pay.
Well, yeah, or put a disclaimer on the front of their program in great big bold letters. What you're about to see may or may not be true. Something like that. And then at the end of the program, too, you've just seen a psychodrama here, and it's false. Don't worry about it, Tim. That's what we'd have to do. Hey, thanks so much for your call. Very good call. Enjoyed talking to you.
All right. You have a good one.
Yep. Oh, yes. It's a flying. The BS is a flying. So in commemoration of that, let's do a little something here.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
So darling, you could pass the time, could you entertain? Despite all the problems in the world, hunger in the land, we'd rather the old people know who took a jury stand. Scott Peterson tried, well, he's a murderer, I agree. There's a lot more things in this world that your country needs to see. Started with OJ running in his old white Bronco.
Where's OJ?
Running from the law with a bloody glove. He hit the road. Here we are in the middle of a war with glamour, fighting to be free.
Weapons of mass destruction.
There's a Patriot Act at home. It's modern than you and me.
Mass destruction.
But it's water under the bridge when the next thing you know is a new spicy sex tape.
Mass destruction.
Or reality show, it's cross the line. Jessica Simpson's made.
Mass destruction.
Yes, I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment can be. And I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Here we are, we're starting a war. We claim the rest of the world can't have nukes.
Not Iran.
Well, the only thing on my TV screen is them retro days of Dukes.
What did she eat?
Well, the rest of the world is watching. Well, they probably dropped their jaw. It's old Bush, she watches ass with a
Kyoto Protocol.
Global what?
And Mr. Murdoch is smiling. Mr. Ruby ain't afraid.
Scooter's a good man.
The result of President Bush's policies, soldiers stuck in a civil war with no end in sight, our children left with trillions in debt, the erosion of the Constitution, economic policies that squeeze the middle class. Bill Young votes with Bush nearly 90% of the time. Is a little pork for Pinellas County really worth it? I'm Sam Simpson, an independent thinking Democrat running for Congress. Vote for me and we'll make history.
Hey, back at you here in the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Welcome. About 14, 13 and a half minutes until the top of the hour. Glad to have you along with us, and want to thank Cody for a great call. Enjoy talking to Cody. Very intelligent young man. I said young. I'm assuming he's young. You can usually tell a little bit through voice, can't you? Yeah, I think so. And thank John for the email. I was looking at email there through the break and talking about John McCain, about how John McCain is no hero. I agree. John McCain was a hero, his exploits in the war and all, and I honor him for his service. But I have lost much of the respect, almost all the respect I had for John McCain. I tell you, for all the national attention surrounding John McCain's very highly anticipated protest-ridden commencement speeches in New York last week. The senator actually saved some of his best material for the crowd that gathered on Friday, and I don't know how many of you heard about this, a crowd gathered on Friday behind closed doors in the back of the Regency Hotel. This didn't make the big news. It said, in a small mirror-paneled room guarded by Secret Service agent. Why does John McCain have Secret Service with him? Well, what am I missing there? Why does John McCain have Secret Service with him? He is not a official presidential candidate as of yet. He is merely a senator, a United States senator. They don't all have Secret Service with them. I'm not sure I understand that. If you do, let me know. I'm not sure I get that one. Anyway, he's guarded by a Secret Service agent and packed with some of the city's wealthiest and most influential political donors. Mr. McCain got right to the point. And I quote, one of the things I would do if I were president would be to sit the Shiites and the Sunnis down and say, and I'm quoting Mr. McCain here, sit the Shiites and Sunnis down and say, stop the bullshit, said Mr. McCain. Boy, I guess that would really work. Here we are trying to fight them out in the streets. We're getting, 104 soldiers killed in the month of October to try and put a stop to all this. And John McCain says all you have to do is set the Sunnis and the Shias down in a room and say, stop the bullshit. That'll do it. Shazam! Why didn't I think of that? Moreover, why didn't Mr. Bush think of that? That sounds like a wonderful idea, Mr. McCain. That forever disqualifies him, in my mind, of being a serious candidate for the presidency of the United States. Are you kidding? Sit him down in a room. Let's see. Okay, we should have gotten Stalin and Hitler and set them down in a room and say, stop the bullshit, you guys. Yeah, that'd work. Uh, How about putting Bush and Ahmadinejad in a room and say, stop the bullshit, guys. Yeah, that'll work. Or Kim Jong-il and George Bush. Stop the bullshit, guys. This McCain is brilliant. You know, he's losing more and more stature in my eyes. The longer it goes on, the dumber he looks to me. I must admit, I'm a little disappointed by the guy. I really am. His great service to the country notwithstanding. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, James. Guy, it's Steady.
Hi.
Hey, just with a nice segue there about Mr. McCain, people might not remember that him and Senator Lieberman were going to pull a bull moose. They started in 2002. You know, they were going to try to. There was a move to pull a bull moose. You know, and that didn't quite take ground, and no one really caught on to that. But just another thing about McCain and his shadiness associating with Lieberman, and we all saw what happened to Lieberman in the primaries here. So whatever he's still up to, there are ties in Arizona that well known with the Bronfmans and his marriage and stuff like that. His service was honorable and a POW. He reduces the honorability of that when he comes out with, you know, let's just sit down, that's classic. You'd be sure.
I agree. His stock has gone way down. Now I don't know about with Republicans, but I know with independents anyway, which is somebody that he would count on, and he'd probably count on people like what they like to call Reagan Democrats. I don't think those people are real impressed with him at all.
Right. Yeah, Reagan Democrats, and still another great comment.
Whoops. What happened there? Bang zoom. Hey, give us a call back. Don't know what happened to that call, but it sure disappeared real quick. Hope that was something on his end and not our end, but you're welcome to call back. I hope you do. Where are we here? We've got Sophie and Kukla, the Wonder Dogs, walking into the studio right now. Had them in the outer office there, and here they come. I tell you. What fun these two puppies are. They fight and wrestle all day long, just have a good old time. Anyway, we didn't have the show to talk about puppies today, but you may hear one of them here pretty soon. They look like they're getting wound up just a little bit. Probably only show in the air where you can hear actual dogs barking. They're not yet, but they're going to. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I'm a little bit concerned with that last call going down the way it did. I hope our phone lines are okay. I'm gonna try it myself here in a moment. Maybe one of you will for me. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We'll try it on our own here and see. Make sure that the phone is working okay. Let me see here. Let's do this. 866-546-5254. Let's see what happens here. Connected? Nothing happening. This is strange. Let me try this again. Are any of you trying to call on the chat room, for example? Try this again. 1-866-546-5254. You don't often get to hear this sort of thing. This is live radio for you. Let's see what's happened here this time. Calling. There we go. Yep. All right. It's working. I thought maybe it was our phone line. Let's go to the phone here just a minute, and we got all three lines lining up now. Here we go. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
If I could do anything, I wish I could write ads for this Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be fun?
Oh, I'd do it for free. In fact, I think, excuse me, Guy, I think every ad they have should end with that Bush quote about no weapons of mass destruction here.
Yeah.
And did you hear that crowd where he said that? And I'm not sure, was that the press club?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the press club.
Yes.
And they just thought that was the funniest joke in the world.
Oh, yeah. How could you? The first time I saw that, I thought, my God, how could you sit there and laugh at that?
I told my wife, I let her hear that today, and she heard him say it, and I know she heard it before, but I let her hear her say it, and I said, you know, if I'd have been sitting in that room, I'd have just stood up and I'd have called him what I thought of him.
Yeah.
And said, you know, this is way, way over the line. I'm out of here.
Yeah, it was over the line.
The rest of you can sit and stay here, but I'm out of here.
Yeah, and you know, you're so right, Bill. And in light of this big fall to all they're starting to make over what John Kerry said yesterday, what John Kerry said yesterday was nothing compared to what you're saying. Nothing.
Absolutely, and that's why I was calling you and bringing that up, because, Guy, that was what Bush said there, made a joke of it. And I said, you know, maybe by the time he said that, maybe there were 70, 80,000 Iraqis already dead, buried in the ground.
Yeah.
And then...
and let's all have a big laugh about it.
Is this funny or what, gang? And
yeah.
That's your press corps. You know, I read a thing the other day, Guy. It said newspapers, their subscription rate is just way, way down. All of them,
yeah.
And, you know, about in those ads, I'd say that part where he says, you know, some people call you the elite, I call you my base, that'd be in every ad. That's all they'd have to do. I wish John Kerry would take some of that money that he's got in and run some ads out in some of these tight campaign places and just put in a few of George Bush's quotes and say, I'm John Kerry and I approve of this message.
We're going to do a little of that after the top of the hour today, you know, and if you want to play an insulting, demoralizing piece that he said, not just something stupid, but actually something completely demoralizing and idiotic. How about the champion one of all, I think? Bring him on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's one that I forgot about. But then there's so many of them, who can take and remember them all?
Hey, we haven't had enough of our soldiers killed already. Bring them on.
Yeah, exactly. Take and bring them on. And look who's running Baghdad now. They told those soldiers they're... looking for that soldier that they captured,
mm-hmm.
and the guy there in Iraq says, hey, pull your barbed wire down and get out.
Yeah, back off, boys. Now you stay around here and let us use you where we need to use you and how we want
you. To do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you talk about a failed policy, Guy.
I just can't
wait till these elections are over. I don't know whether I'll slit my wrist or...
You know, Bill,
I've never had any guns, guys, so I'll have to use a sharp knife.
you could have given this war planning to a group of second graders with their toy soldiers and told them to figure it out, and they could have done a better job planning it than George Bush's Pentagon has.
I can't see, Guy, where any Republican, if these Republicans, if they say... You know, yesterday you said, you know, we live in the richest nation on earth. That's a lie, Guy. I'm sorry, but we're the biggest debtor nation on earth. That's what you should have said.
Well, true. We have the biggest GNP, but you're right. When the debt's figured in.
We ain't got a dime in the bank.
No.
I don't know about you, but I can go out and take my family out to eat and pay for it with cash.
Yeah.
I don't think and I've seen... I'm going to say this, and I'll let you go. Burns, have you seen some of the stuff on him?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a little of that after the top of the hour as well. Hey, got to run, Bill. Thank you.
All right, listen, thanks a lot, guys.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, guys.
We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. I want to remind you, you're listening to the Head On Radio Network, the Guy James Show, and... We're going to be back right after the top of the hour, so don't go away. We got news coming up. Maybe you'll learn something here. Here we go.
This is the Quality News Network. More violence in Iraq today. 10 more bodies found in Baghdad, with dozens more killed in sectarian violence throughout the country. And the death toll from yesterday's car bombing of a wedding party has now risen to 23, including 9 in children. The number of U.S. military who died during the month of October was 104, including the death yesterday of an American soldier. That makes it the deadliest month for U.S. forces since January of 2005, when 107 Americans died. Fire investigators in Southern California now have someone in custody whom they describe as a person of interest in connection with the deadly brush fire, which burned more than 60 square miles and killed 5 firefighters, including one who'd been critically injured and died overnight. North Korea has confirmed that it will return to the bargaining table for talks with 5 other nations about disarming its nuclear program. Its motivation is to regain access to overseas bank accounts that have been frozen at the urging of the United States. The two Koreas, along with the U.S., Russia, China, and Japan, all scheduled to meet for an Asia-Pacific summit next month in Vietnam. It's expected that disarmament talks will begin a short time later. On the campaign trail, Senator John Kerry has apologized for a joke that backfired and is heading home after canceling the rest of his scheduled appearances with congressional candidates. The final pre-election poll by NBC News and the Wall Street Journal shows that Democrats continue to have a significant advantage, a 15-point lead over Republicans heading into next week's elections. Bush's approval rating, President Bush's approval rating now at 39%. That's a slight increase. Talks are underway through a U.N. mediator between Hezbollah and Israel regarding a prisoner exchange likely involving the two Israeli soldiers whose kidnapping in July led to the 34-day war. More violence in the Gaza Strip today, where gun battles and airstrikes by the Israelis have killed another 6 Palestinians and wounded 45. It all occurred in an area that Israel says was a staging ground for the launching of rockets into the Jewish state. An Israeli soldier also killed in that fighting. Iran wants American tourists to visit and says it will soon be offering cash incentives to travel agencies to encourage Americans to do just that. P.W. Botha, the South African president who embraced apartheid and kept Nelson Mandela in jail, has died at the age of 90. Yet Mandela has kind words for him, saying that while Botha remains a symbol of apartheid to many, Mandela remembers him for the steps he took to pave the way towards the eventual peacefully negotiated settlement in South Africa. And legendary game show host Bob Barker has announced that after 50 years on TV, 35 of them with The Price is Right, is retiring next June. This is the Quality News Network. Tune in to the Quality News Network election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scoreboard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 network-quality interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of those candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties and no party from all 50 states. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night, November 7th, and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. A new study on prostate cancer by Johns Hopkins University suggests that doctors should pay less attention to PSA test numbers and more attention to how much they change over time. It also suggests that men get a baseline PSA test as early as the age of 40 rather than 50, which is now the norm. Friends of the Earth threatening to sue Canada over its failure to abide by the Kyoto Protocols, which are designed to reduce greenhouse gases. The environmental group says Canada's are actually on the increase, 26% higher than those levels agreed to in the protocols. Ford is reporting increased sales during the month of October, up 8%. Daimler Chrysler, on the other hand, reports its sales were down 1.6%. Commerce Department reports that new home construction in September declined for the 6th consecutive month, and that's the longest stretch of down numbers in more than 10 years. MasterCard, which only recently became a publicly traded company, reports that its third quarter profits were up 82%. MasterCard's larger rival, Visa USA, has also announced that it plans to go public. And Air America Radio, which filed for bankruptcy several weeks ago, now talking with 7 different parties about a possible sale. Attorneys for the network say they're hopeful a deal will be reached by Thanksgiving. Light sweet crude oil trading down 33 cents a barrel this hour at $58.60. And on Wall Street, all the markets are down. The Dow is lower by 32 points at 12,049.
NASDAQ is down by 11 at 2,356, and the S&P 500 lower.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. And see, we've got a nice-sized group along. And as always, a very well-informed group. I'd like to say hello to the folks at all the chat rooms, especially the folks over at Head On Radio Network chat room. Glad to have you with us and proud to have you along with us. And we hope you'll join the conversation. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Speaking of that, we had a call get cut off a while ago, so let's just go right back to that. Hi.
Hey, Guy, and hi, everyone out there. I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm okay, and the phone's working. So right where I left off, I have to say at the moment, the phone call got cut off. I got a phone call from my pastor, and he what he said was that his wife, Kimberly, had heard an interview that I did with the local Ventura radio station, KVETA, about the flag incident where I it posted up about 1,000. It was 850 plus maybe a few more that haven't been recovered, but flags along a freeway fence where everyone saw it, and everyone who came to church on Sunday saw it. Now, you know, there's tens of thousands of cars that go down, and the flags were posted up on a fence over 1/2 mile right along the freeway. And the article at KVTA said that it angered some motorists, and it did plug my name and my write-in candidacy. So just as the phone call here at this interview got cut off today with you moments ago, my pastor called, said he heard the interview. He said, okay, now that you got the publicity for the flag, that's outstanding, but go right back to the issues. Yeah, the flags are great, but the issue is Iraq's a disaster.
That is the issue.
Afghanistan's a disaster. The lies are a disaster. A disaster after disaster. Katrina's a disaster. And go back to the issues. Yeah, okay, so the flags, I want to attach my name to the flag just in the sense of U.S. representative. And what does that mean? What is the United States' interests? So we got something going with 6 days left here, and I'm a electable candidate. So until Tuesday, the last ballot's counted, and we're still in this, and I'm pretty excited.
Well, of course.
We've been invigorated.
There's nothing more fun than being invited in, and nerve-wracking, I might add, to be involved in a election campaign. I've been involved in it's exciting. It's a heady stuff. It's fun, and it's also quite get down to the nail biting time. It's pretty tough.
Well, we're running on a shoestring budget, if we can even call it that, by way of scales of political campaigns and U.S. politics. But we're doing what we can, and with a handful of spirit, we're still out there running. And Guy, I appreciate taking the call, and hope I can invigorate some people in their districts to help out candidates do whatever, you know, whoever they see fit for their area and what's going on to energize the body politic and invigorate our population, because truly that is a sleeping giant. We could turn this around if we can get enough people up off their chair, as you were saying earlier. They don't care. So, but
50% of them won't get up off their chairs and vote this election. You can count on that, and maybe more. And what a shame that is. What a shame.
That's sad but true. Guy, thanks a million.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I see Arizona's doing something. Is it Arizona or was it New Mexico? I think it's Arizona doing something very innovative, I think. bribing people to vote. But hey, if it works, let's go for it. I think they're, what is it, offering $1 million? They're going to have a drawing. Do I have that right? They're going to have a drawing, and of everybody who actually went and vote, their names will all be in the hat, and they're drawing out, and they're going to win $1 million, I think. So, you know, hey, I don't think that's such a bad idea. I also think that they ought to have the elections on Saturday so more people can vote. I also think, you know, I want them to do anything they can to get more people out to vote. It's just a shame. It's... You know, when you stop and think that 50% of the people in this country don't give a damn enough to even get in their car and drive a mile down the road or two or whatever it happens to be, and take 10 minutes and vote, come on. Come on. How can you be that lazy? How can you be that apathetic? You know, I've said many, many times, you know, people say, well, one vote doesn't count. And then I hear the other one, and I've heard it from a relative of mine very recently. Hey, it doesn't make any difference. They're all the same. They're not all the same. They are not all the same. There is a vast chasm between the left and the right. I want you to stop and think about something, and, you know, I think we should let it be known. You talk about vast differences. Right now, the hard right is gearing up to escalate the war in Iraq. They want to escalate the war in the Middle East. They want to go after Iran. They don't want to talk. They want to go after them. And the hard right wants to put far more troops into Iraq. Insanity. Absolute insanity. But they want to do it. So don't anybody say, hey, there's no difference. They're all crooks. I give you the fact that many, many, many of them are crooks. I will absolutely give you that. But maybe, just maybe, in this election, we'll be throwing out some crooks and getting some honest people in. On both sides. I'm not saying that there aren't any Democrats that aren't crooks. There are. I certainly hope that Jefferson in Louisiana gets the hell out of the Democratic Party as soon as possible. I want him to go. If he's guilty of that, out. But, you know, there's just don't tell me there's no difference. I don't want to hear that from people. Hey, I had an interesting note sent to me during the break. It said Air America Radio is talking to several parties about a possible sale and is hopeful of reaching a deal before Thanksgiving, a lawyer for the Liberal Talk Radio Network told a bankruptcy hearing Tuesday. Terry Kleestot told the court that the privately held company was in discussion with seven different parties about a sale and was very hopeful of reaching a deal by November 22nd, saying there was a significant amount of interest. The network, which went on the air with much fanfare 2 years ago, filed for bankruptcy protection in October. Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Well, who knows what will come of that? Who knows? Who knows what the future is of liberal radio? Or should I say progressive radio? I know a lot of people like to hear that. I'm progressive. I'm a liberal, damn it. That's how it is. You know, faced with some of the rhetoric coming out by Bush right now, faced with the potential GOP defeat, the Grand Ole Pervert Party, in both chambers, Bush and Cheney are, you know, they aim to avoid that by convincing voters that they can't risk giving the opposition party any power in Washington. And wanted to quote Georgie Jr. Bush here. Says, however they put it, the Democratic approach in Iraq comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses, Bush told a raucous crowd of about 5,000 GOP partisans. Let me add that if you saw the camera pan around that entire arena, there were many, many, many empty seats. GOP partisans packed in an arena at Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, one of his stops Monday. That's what's at stake in this election, he said. The goal is to get out of Iraq, the Democrat goal. The Republican goal is to win in Iraq. Georgie, got news for you. Iraq is over. We can do little to nothing more. The war is over. It's finished. It's a disaster. And pretending that your party wants to win and the Democrats want to lose is poppycock. And there is no winning and losing anymore. All there is left now is dying and your preposterous election year rhetoric. That's all that's left. So let's please get real on this. And you know, Bush has been such a terrible president. A terrible president. And yet I see these little speeches that he gives on TV with that horrible smirking and his ridiculously childish gestures that he does. And when he puts his elbow down on the rostrum and says, see, we had to. Has there ever been anybody with a more mealy-mouthed, ridiculous presence as a speaker than Junior Bush? I mean, he's been a terrible president. And the past Congresses have been horrible, spending like drunken sailors. And they've been engaged in widespread corruption, butting into things that they should have no say in, like this Schiavo incident, for example. And they refuse to hold this administration accountable for anything. And instead of doing anything meaningful, they use wedge issues to keep themselves in power at the expense of gays and et cetera. Oh, on the Senate and House floor debating gay marriage and flag burning. Absurd. They could have been getting something done for the people, but they chose not to. And why do they keep attacking these decent people like Jim Webb? Keep this corrupt lot of fools in office? Why can't they just admit they were, the voters now admit that they were sold a bill of goods and start over again? Why do they want to remain in power but without any principles? Are tax cuts that important to people? What's gained by keeping troops in harm's way with no clear plan for victory? They keep asking, what's the Democrats' plan for victory? Would somebody tell me what the hell is George Bush's plan for victory? Does anybody know? Anybody? I invite you to call. If you know what George Bush's plan for victory is, let me know, because there isn't a soul in this country that has any idea what his plan for victory is. There's no desire to change course. With our guys dying every day in what looks to be for no good reason, why? Why did they go on with this? Think about that, people. When you hear him say their plan for victory, the Democrats don't have any plan for victory. Who's got a plan for victory? The Democrats want to get out. You want to stay there till hell freezes over and get to the, how many thousand more killed and still won't know where to go with this. You put a government in office that's friendly with the Shias from Iran. You did the Iranians a favor by getting rid of their worst enemy, Saddam Hussein. Do you see the political folly of this whole situation? I am by no means an expert on diplomacy and the State Department of the United States, but my God, could anything have been more impotent than the State Department in this whole affair with Iran and North Korea? Total failure. Total failure. An inept and an incompetent woman in Condoleezza Rice. And Donald Rumsfeld. And yet the president says, oh yeah, I really have a lot of respect for these people, and I really have a lot of confidence in them. They'll keep screwing up over and over and over and over and over again, and they'll never do anything right. Rumsfeld hasn't done a damn thing right since he's been in there. But I have confidence in him. Yes, sir, I got confidence in him. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy, this is John. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, John.
Wanted to say something about the Kerry comments. This is something that's been really, really nagging at me for the last 24 hours or so. I hear all these right-wing voices trembling with righteous indignation. Our fine men and women in uniform should be so insulted by this and all. You know, it was a misstep. It was not a smart thing to say. I'm sure if he had thought about this 1,000 times, he had to do over again, he wouldn't have done it. But these same people who are so indignant, and these three little nitwits on Fox in the morning, where were they when Donald Rumsfeld said, you go to the war with the army you have, not the army you wish you had? Where was all that indignation?
Oh, that's not insulting.
Yeah, it's a very selective form of righteous indignation that they practice, because if anybody insulted the troops, and it wasn't the size of the army he was talking about, because he had made it clear to the Pentagon that they were plenty big enough. He didn't need more troops. So it wasn't the size, it was quality, not quantity that he was talking about. And yet, nobody rose up in arms over that. So anytime, to all my liberal friends and friends that I hope to meet someday out there, if you encounter anybody on the right who's talked about this Kerry thing, please remind them of what Donald Rumsfeld said. And you compare the two statements, and you see which is more insulting to men and women in uniform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent point. Excellent point. That's a good one to bring up right there. I mean,
I'm surprised nobody is bringing it up as a counter to this. I've been thinking about this all day. My God, that was it was a horrific thing to say, and yet it was just glossed over as if it never happened.
It's a slap in the face to everybody in uniform.
Absolutely.
Not
and
a
by
word.
The man who's their leader.
Yeah. Yeah. that there couldn't be a better point than that one right there. There couldn't be. That's right on. I said bring them on was the most insulting, but I'm wrong. That one you just gave is the most insulting.
Oh, and well, all of the whole military posturing that Bush has been doing with his bumper sticker diplomacy, where if the smoking gun will be a mushroom cloud, we'll stand up or we'll stand down when they stand up. I mean, all these little catchphrases that sound like they were written by a PR firm. They are no substitutes for strategy. They are no substitutes for a plan. They are no substitutes for a white paper. But they should be presented to the American people saying, this is how we're going to conduct this war. This is what needs to happen before we get out. None of that's happened. We get bumper stickers from this government. And that's
right.
All we get.
That's right. You're right. Bumper sticker diplomacy. That's
I am... And you've got this, I don't know, 33%, whatever. These are like the Stepford Wives. These are Stepford citizens out there. They'll take anything this guy gives yet today. I'm amazed and appalled.
Do you notice the faces on the people standing behind Bush when he's giving his little speeches out there lately? You talk about Stepfords.
I've never seen anything about it. I mean, I was a big fan of Jimmy Carter. I still am a big fan of Jimmy Carter. But even I realized that at one point there were some serious problems with his presidency. I don't think it was due to any lack of will or intellect or desire on his part to be successful. Certainly not any venality on his part. I think his motives were true. I think, and other Democrats, you know, we're admitting it. At least we admitted it when things weren't going well. These people cannot admit anything.
That's right.
They cannot admit anything. They will, any vilification of anybody on the left, they accept it wholesale, no questions asked. Any lionization of some SOB jerk off can't do anything right on the right side, they buy it wholesale too.
Good job, Brownie.
It's frightening. It is frightening.
It is.
And this Kerry thing, I think, just brings to light how desperate they are and how they do still have this strange, twisted base out there that will follow them anywhere. And I hope they walk off the cliff and that 33% walks off behind them.
Absolutely.
I think we'd all be a lot better off. Can you tell I'm ticked off today?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this Kerry thing, And the press is beating it to death, following right along, following the game plan today. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's got nothing to do with anything. And yet here we go. Don't look over there. Don't look at the issues. Look over here. We think John Kerry said something nasty. Oh boy.
Where was the press when our president said, I don't even think that much about Osama bin Laden anymore?
Yeah.
I don't think that much. Where was the furor, the three-day, five-day furor after that? There was none.
No.
Just a press that is supposedly so left-leaning and so, much in the pocket of the Democrats. It really crystallizes a lot of things that have been pissing me off for a long time, and especially pissed me off in the last 48 hours after all this furor over nothing. They're so desperate. I mean, you've got a handful, well, more than a handful, well, like a basketful of Republicans that are either under indictment or waiting to go to jail for good reason. A lot of them under an ethical cloud. You know, everything from beating up their girlfriends, married guys beating up their girlfriends, to soliciting underage children,
mm-hmm.
to sticking their hands in the till. I mean, sticking both hands in the till. And on and on and on and on. But we've got to concentrate because John Kerry didn't think before he said something.
Yeah.
This has got to be our focus now. What a twist.
You're right.
That's wait for this to come out.
Yeah. Hey, our people in the chat room want to invite you to the chat room, they're saying.
Oh, okay.
Headonradionetwork.com. You go in there and you sign up for the chat room. They want you to join there if you can.
All right. I am on my way home. In fact, I'm just a few minutes from home, and I will do just that.
All right.
Well, thank you, Guy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, here we are. John Kerry. Let's see, 2,900 people with 2,800 soldiers being killed. No, John Kerry. Let's talk about John Kerry. Yeah, but Mr. President, you said you didn't care anything about Osama bin Laden. You said it wasn't important where he was. I don't think about it much anymore. Well, I am now. It's important now where he's at. You know, at Osama, he's waiting to get us. But Mr. President, just a year or so ago, you said you didn't really care where he was. You didn't care. Well, it's different now. Now that it's election time, I want you to be afraid. I want you to be very afraid. Him, Zawahiri, there after you. Probably waiting right out back of your house right now to come and get you. And I say that because I know my voters are idiots. They're idiots. If you can buy, and I'm sorry, let me apologize ahead of time. I know there are some good and decent people who are sucked in by this propaganda and rhetoric of this Bush administration. I'm not saying you're not nice people. I'm not saying that you don't have good intentions, perhaps. But wake up! You're dumber than hell! You can't know what's going on in this country right now. You cannot know what's going on in this world right now and not think that we're not at a precipice right now in this country, that we are not at a time of great importance in this country. And we're being run by idiots. Did you see Ohioan John Boehner's statement last week that Donald, for God's sake, Rumsfeld was the best Defense Department head we've had in 25 years? Now, there can only be two reasons for him saying that. One, he's a total, complete, friggin' idiot. Or two, he's a goddamn liar. One or the other. Take your choice. Neither one is a good one, do you think? And this is the majority leader in the House for your party saying this. What the hell is wrong with you? If you look at Boehner's record, What the hell is wrong with you electing him in the first place? Jesus. What? I swear to God, you could take Rumsfeld's record and you could take everything that's written about this war and take it maybe to some sixth graders and pass it around the room, let them read everything for a couple of days, everything that's going on in this war. And you could ask them what they think of Donald Rumsfeld, and they say he's a friggin' idiot. An arrogant asshole that's running a war that's getting 2,800 of our kids killed for nothing. If we had to go to war, which we didn't, but we ended up in a war, for God's sake, couldn't anybody, you could drive down the street and pick somebody driving, walking down the sidewalk and say, hey, you, come here. I want you to run a war. I'm 100% sure that guy could have done a better job than Donald Rumsfeld. I get so frustrated when I think about Donald Rumsfeld. I can't tell you. Yeah, you know. You understand. I know you feel the same way. Damn. But, you know, forget Rumsfeld. How freaking stupid does a president of the United States be? How stupid is he to still have confidence in this man? Knowing, and get this, knowing that Rumsfeld is an anchor hanging around George Bush's own neck, dragging him down, Bush doesn't even understand what's happening. He doesn't get it. No one has told him. Hey, did you know he's sinking your administration even farther than it would be? I mean, instead of just halfway down, we're on the goddamn bottom of the ocean right now. Did you know because Donald Rumsfeld is putting us there? Bush doesn't know it. Doesn't get it. Oh, I go nuts when I think about Donald Rumsfeld. Oh, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Bring my blood pressure down, will you?
This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I have a quote that I really remember Bush saying. I don't know if very many heard it, but remember when they had the energy crunch in way back when, I think it was before 9/11 in California.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when Bush was getting all these tax cuts and he was going to send a check to all these people? They were supposed to get the check in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
Remember that? And he said,
yeah,
he spent a lot of money sending people, and some people got maybe $40, if anything. I didn't get anything. But anyway.
Were you talking about the $300 tax cut everybody was supposed to get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody got that, you know.
Well, no.
But anyway, the quote I remember so clearly, I used to keep up with him quite a bit, and this is when he used to walk among some people, you know. And before he got in his ivory tower, and somebody came up to him and said, "What are these people going to do in California about their light bills and everything? It's going way up there." He said, "Oh, no problem. They can pay for that with their tax checks they get back." I remember that. I mean, he said that walking along.
Oh man, well that's typical, isn't it? It's typical,
yeah,
of the thinking that goes on with these,
yeah,
people.
That's when I used to kind of know pretty much everything he was doing, but now you can't keep up with it all.
No, you can't. You cannot. I'm living testament to that. I try to every day,
yeah,
and I can't do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but anyway, I was really proud of John Kerry. I don't know what he apologized for, how he apologized, but I don't think he apologized to Bush, did he?
No, and he won't. And if he does, I'm going to be disappointed in him.
Right. And you know, Lou Dobbs has those things, you know, were the questionnaires where you vote on them. And the questionnaire yesterday was, should John Kerry apologize? And 75% said no.
Well, good.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is. And I almost, I also need to tell you that the people on the Head On Radio Network chat room want you to join the chat room as well.
I've been trying. I've been having so much trouble. It won't accept my password.
Well, put in a new one.
I did, and it won't accept that.
Well, start over again. Do it over again.
I'll
get you in there.
I'll try.
All righty.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How many of you heard this? Well, hey, let's not start another subject right now. Let's do a couple things, and we'll be back in a minute.
I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn. Did I say those words? No question that the enemy has tried to spread sectarian violence. They use violence as a tool to do that. We need an energy bill that encourages consumption. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. We must never stop thinking about how best to defend our country. I'm the decider, and I decide what is best. The United States of America is engaged in a war against an extremist group of folks.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
If you don't stand for anything, you don't stand for anything. If you don't stand for something, you don't stand for anything.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
In my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
At the high school level, and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
I hear there's rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
They underestimated the compassion of our country. I think they underestimated the will and determination of the commander-in-chief, too.
There are some who feel like that if they attack us, that we may decide to leave prematurely. They don't understand what they're talking about if that's the case. Let me finish. There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
I'm Jim Webb. As a Marine, I fought a lot of battles for this country, but the battle we're in right now is the most important of my life. Those in power haven't served us. They've failed to protect our working people. They've failed us on ethics, and they're failing in Iraq. Bottom line, they're not fighting for you. I will. We need a new direction on issues like making health care and college more affordable and setting a real strategy to make our nation secure. I approve this message because if you're ready for change, I'd be honored to have your vote.
Brad Burns numbers game. He said he'd serve only two terms. Now he's running for his fourth. He's voted four times to raise his pay, but 11 times against raising the minimum wage. And Conrad Burns was the number one friend of convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff and his associates, taking $150,000. No wonder Abramoff said he got whatever he wanted from Burns. We deserve a senator who puts Montana first. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Today's Republican Party is quite diverse and spans all walks of life. So grab a chair and sit right down as we break them down into 10 basic types. If you ask Mr. Moneybags about the meaning of life, he'll say, because the only thing that's important to him is,
Where's the money? Give me the money.
He says,
those people are all worthless cogs. I need to buy me better electronic seats and diamond jewelry for all.
also hates the inheritance tax.
This policy I oppose.
Because a spoiled daughter needs every last cent to snort it all up her nose. Mr. Warhawk's idea of diplomacy is yelling,
"Let's solve everything with war!"
Just as long as his kids aren't in the army, you see, and it's made up of the brown and the poor. He thinks he's a military genius, too, smarter than Sun Tzu and old Colin Powell, even though his only military training's from watching Red Dawn starring C. Thomas Howell. Mr. Bibleton is a born-again Christian, just like his best buddy, the Prez, and they're both devout believers in Christ, only not so much in what he says. Jesus' words of helping the poor and needy are all right there in the Bible. But if you ask if he believes it's true, he'll say,
I believe that might be a typo.
They care not about AIDS in Africa or spreading love in the world today. What issue are they most concerned about?
Making sure the kingdom don't turn us gay.
And here's Mr. Contrarian. He hates liberal causes and cases. If you say global warming melts the polar ice caps, they'll say,
"What is it?"
till they're blue in the faces. He's often on Yahoo News message boards typing in all caps and in the dark. Or perhaps you'll find him in Hollywood writing plot lines for South Park. Mr. NRA likes guns more than people. That's why he... Even though most Americans support gun control and banning cop killer bullets. In business school, Mr. Fratt learned that corporate groupthink is always quite right, which explains why he's such a super fan of Dane Cook, Fox News, and Coors Light. He hates affirmative action, for he feels it's a government jip.
People should have to get their own jobs in the world.
Like he did at his father's hot tub dealership. If forced to pick a political slogan, though, and choose a motto that fits, Mr. Fratt would think for a moment and say either,
"Woo-hoo!"
or,
"Show me your tits!"
Mr. Log Cabin likes spending his time and money helping Republicans campaign to win, even though most of the folks he's voting for think his existence is a mortal sin. And why is he such a staunch supporter of a party that so hates his guts?
Because achieving equal rights is less important than getting upper bracket tax cuts!
Then again, he may be a genius, so let's take all our criticism back. For he knows if Republicans remain in charge, gay soldiers can't be sent to Iraq. Mr. Numbnuts is a hard-working fellow, and though he ranks among the working poor, he consistently votes for a party that boasts of killing free health care on the congressional floor. But is he angry with those rich old men who say they'll never raise his minimum wage? Well, not while there's plenty of beer and wrestling to channel all his misplaced rage.
Just get waylaid here right in the face of that chair!
The original Minutemen risked their lives defending us from English imperial power. What are today's Minutemen defending us from?
Us boys making $3 an hour.
Some say they're dedicated patriots and others an overzealous mob. Irregardless, someday it'll be more cost-effective to hire an illegal to do their job. And last is an Eisenhower Republican. He's a fan of fiscal restraint. He's also cautious with military intervention. He knows what's a war and what ain't. He's a thoughtful, decent, honest man who thinks that in order to win, you must be a moderate who unites all people and, looks like there's no room for him. Yes, the Republican Party's an intriguing patchwork of politics, personalities, and all housed together under one great big insane political circus tent.
I'm Frances Strickland. I hope that most of you know who I am by now. Ted and I and Roger all want to thank you for how good you've been to us on the campaign trail. We know that it hasn't been easy at times, but you've been so super. You've been warm to us. You've even told me that you like my singing with the guitar, and you just can't even imagine how much that helps, that you bring that kind of humor and warmth to us as we come into your area. We're very happy with the way the campaign is looking right now. And I think the important thing is that we all stay steady, we keep our good sense of humor, and just be the positive force that this campaign has been in the days ahead. And again, thank you for all of your hard work. We just can't wait for us all to have an opportunity to celebrate together and bring home the greatest victory ever on November the 7th. Thank you again.
Ah, it's a joy to hear from Mrs. Strickland. I don't think anybody's run a cleaner campaign than Ted Strickland in Ohio. He is, after all, an ordained Methodist minister, and I would expect as much from him. But, you know, this is politics, and he resisted every attempt to use smear and innuendo and so forth, as Mr. Blackwell has done against him. But I think, as we all know by now, Mr. Blackwell's efforts in that regard have gone for naught. We can only hope that there's no funny business in the election in Ohio. I wouldn't rule it out, but I think we're in good shape in Ohio. I really do think we're in good shape in Ohio. I hope and pray that the election is an honest one in Ohio. Maybe that's a lot to ask for. But we shall see. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. How many of you saw that classified chart from 2 weeks ago by the United States Central Command in Iraq? It portrayed Iraq as edging toward chaos in a chart that the military is using as a barometer of a civil conflict in Iraq. It includes a color-coded bar chart that's used to illustrate an index of civil conflict, they call it, and it shows a sharp escalation in sectarian violence since the bombing of a Shiite shrine in Samaria in February, and tracks a further worsening this month, despite a concentrated American push to tamp down the violence in Baghdad. Now, Tony Snow, lying bastard that he is, tried to play this off and say, well, you know, it was only during Ramadan when all that spiked. No, Tony, you see, if you'd been following the chart all along, Tony, the violence has been escalating upward, onward and upward ever since that bombing of the Shiite shrine in Samaria in February and before that. But it's gone steadily up since. So let's not say so conveniently to you and to the administration that because last month was Ramadan, that's why it was spiking and that was some sort of an anomaly. It is not. How do you explain February through the end of September if it was only Ramadan that's causing this? How do you explain that, Tony Snowjob? You can't. The conclusion the Central Command has drawn from these trends are absolutely not encouraging. And the New York Times had this slide, and you can see it at the New York Times. It shows Iraq as moving sharply away from peace, an ideal on the far left side of the chart, to a point much closer to the right side of the spectrum, a red zone marked chaos. You can see it at the New York Times. Do look it up. Interesting chart to see. But Mr. Tony Snowjob, there's nothing to worry about, you know. Nothing to worry about. And then we had something I found absolutely bizarre, but more power to you, Rick. Ricky Santorum has joined with Zell Miller. This appears to be the October surprise of the Santorum campaign. He brought on Zell Miller to attract all of the Democrats to Rick's side. Now, I want to ask you a question. Were you running for office, no matter where you might live, any of our listeners, no matter where you might live, and you're running for office, and you want to bring somebody in to attract Democrats, for God's sake, would you bring in Zell Miller? Former Senator Zell Miller, a Georgia Democrat who supported President Bush in 2004, will head a new group of Democrats. I'd like to meet this group, supporting Pennsylvania GOP Senator Rick Santorum's reelection bid. Miller said, I'm not involved in any other race in the country. Oh, my God, does that surprise anybody? I'm not involved in any other race in the country, he said during a radio interview Monday. According to a news release from Santorum's campaign, I am only doing this for Rick Santorum. I believe in Rick Santorum's leadership that much. Well, Zell, you know what, Zell? Seems to me you believed in Junior Bush's leadership that much as well. Now, Zell, I don't know how to put this to you, Zell, but most of America looks at you as some kind of a whacked out nut, Zell. I mean, I know that might sound a little bit harsh, but Zell, Democrats and Republicans, Zell, look at you as some sort of a fool, a clown, a pathetic figure. And Ricky Santorum invites you to help out with his campaign. Oh, my. Of course, we know Zell Miller alienated nearly every Democrat in the country a couple of years ago. So this will mean Rick Santorum gets what? 2 or 3 votes out of this endorsement? This puts Ricky at 16 points down. Still. Man, I'll tell you, like somebody said to me this, they said this reeks of reaching for a life preserver while going over Niagara Falls, doesn't it? Too little, too stupid, and too late. I tell you what, if I was Rick Santorum, one of the last guys I would ever have called was Zell Miller. Who the hell talked him into calling Zell Miller? That's what I'd like to know. Woo. Rather extreme, I'd say. And speaking of extreme, how crazy are these people getting? From my friends over at ObsidianWings.com, said the alleged party of limited government has come up with another fascinating use for your tax dollars, telling adults not to have sex. The federal government's no sex without marriage message isn't just for kids anymore. Now, the government is targeting unmarried adults up to the age of 29 as part of its abstinence-only program, which includes millions of dollars in federal money that will be available to the states under revised federal grant guidelines for 2007. Now, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Spending government money trying to get people up to the age of 29 to not have sex? I seem to recall someone saying recently that whenever there's a problem, liberals' first thought is, let's use the government to fix it. I protested at the time, pointing to things like the apparent belief of many ranchers that they're entitled to graze on public lands at below market rates in perpetuity, and the idea that it's up to the government to divert water from endangered salmon to farmers in a desert whenever, surprise, there isn't enough water. But this surely takes the cake. Using the government, this Republican administration, using the government to tell competent adults whether or not to have sex. You know, here's a newsflash for you. I don't want George W. Bush, or worse, Dick Cheney, or even worse than that, Lynn Cheney, telling anybody who to have sex with. If they want to literally tell me, for instance, by calling me on the phone and informing me of their views, that would merely be rude. But spending tax dollars on this kind of idiocy and coming up with an actual government position on the issue of my sex life, well, I don't know. I think that's kind of insane, don't you? These people wouldn't know conservatism if it sat down next to them on the bus. You know, they should just back away from the reins of government slowly and wrap themselves up in those comfy padded suits and let the nice young men in their nice white coats take them off to the lunatic asylum where they so obviously belong. My God, I heard this yesterday and I thought, can't be. Had to read it for myself. Just can't be. Ah, yes. 6 minutes in front of the hour, 866-546-5254. Corey Stone says the AARP will fully support that. Ah, yes. You know, the trouble with propaganda is it can be awkward if the wrong people buy into it or decide to embarrass you by pretending to buy into it. And especially if it happens 1 week before a critical election in which you have your back to the wall and are in danger of suffering a fate worse than death. And from time to time, all the leading lights of the Bush regime have so piously intoned the ritualistic claptrap of how Iraq is, of course, a sovereign nation, and we are but their honored guest. And I know you've all heard about this, but Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki has obviously decided to have some fun with that little doctrine. Last week, he flatly contradicted the big pronouncement jointly made by Ambassador Khalilzad and General George Casey, with no ulterior motives whatsoever, that the Iraqi government had committed itself to a timeline for making hard political decisions and benchmarks. And today, with a perfectly straight face, he ordered, you know, he issued orders to the U.S. military in Iraq. To the U.S. military. Iraq's prime minister has ordered the lifting of all U.S. and Iraqi military checkpoints around the Shia stronghold of Sadr City in Baghdad. Who would have thought this guy had that in him, even? Certainly not the Bushmen, that's for sure. And it's very evident that it's never even occurred to the folks who preside over things in Iraq for us that anything like this might ever happen. They don't have any standard operating procedure to deal with this. And their initial PR response to the prime minister's order was, and I love this, to quote him, a U.S. military spokesman said that he was not aware of the order, but told the AFP news agency that any concerns of the prime minister would be addressed, quote, at the highest command levels, end quote. I think he really should have stopped at the not aware of the order. Now he's gone and said that our top generals in Iraq will have to decide in consultation with Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Bush whether or not our military forces in Iraq will obey Maliki's order. Have you thought about that? That parses out to the, quote, sovereign nation of Iraq? Yeah. Maliki's about to find out how sovereign his nation is. Maliki is about to find out how important his job is. He's about to find out how much power he has. He's about to find out how politically popular and effective he is in the minds of the people that run this government. sovereign nation. Iraq. Yeah, maybe Maliki does think he's heading a sovereign nation there. Who knows? He might be thinking that. I hope he's not too deep into it. Anyway, it's been an interesting program today, and we have some awfully good calls today, and I thank everybody for that. I really do. And all of you that call and are not necessarily joining the Head On Radio Network chat room, we hope you'll do that. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And it's very easy to sign up, and I hope you all will. It's free, and it's fun, and it's interesting, and you'll meet a lot of good people on there. And they kind of keep a running conversation going during the program. I monitor a few other chat rooms as well, but I enjoy this one most of all, and I think you will as well. Highly informed people on the Head On Radio Network chat room. Here we are 6 days away from election, folks. If you're working at a campaign office, if you're helping get out the vote, man, go for it. We have got to get out the vote. We know we're facing a lot of money being thrown at us this coming 6 days by the Republicans. They are desperate. They're very desperate. And you know how cornered rats act. So be advised that they're going to be coming after us in a very, very big way. And our job is to get out the vote. Get out and vote yourselves. Get your neighbors out to vote. Get everybody out. But let's get it out. Call your friends. You know, you might be surprised how calling 3, 4, or 5 friends apiece, get in the car, drive together, pick them up, take them to the polls. The Republicans will be doing that. We got to do it too. Hey, it's great having you with us today. Appreciate it so very much. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, the Guy James Show. Be back with you tomorrow, but in the meantime, I want you to remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.